You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TPC. It's Saturday evening, May the 6th. Back-to-back special series are now behind us, and our primary focus now returns to top news stories and current events. The special seasons are always good, as a friend texted today, but it's also going to be good to return to form. And boy, are we doing that in a big way. Monster show coming your way tonight, right now. In fact, in the second hour, coming up a little bit later, American Renaissance staff writer Gregory Hood will be making his TPC debut to discuss everything from deplatforming and democracy to Elvis history and how America celebrates its losers. Closing out the show tonight in our third hour will be Sam Dixon, closing out a powerhouse broadcast as only he can. But first, another first for TPC. We've got three program mainstays all on the line at the same time for this first hour. Dr. Kevin McDonald, former Croatian diplomat Tom Sunich, and Canadian free speech activist Paul Fromm. Now, these are all program regulars, and they were also all banned from Twitter at the exact same time on the exact same day, Monday morning, April 24th. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. I read my statement. I was included in that company of tweeters of the damned, and Dr. McDonald was good enough to run my statement on his website, the Occidental Observer. But now we're going to have a roundtable conversation about not just that, but free speech in general, Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, and so much more. Gentlemen, I want to welcome you all collectively to the broadcast. Always good to talk to you. Especially going to be fun tonight to talk to you all at once. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, fine, James, Tom. And all my best. My best regards to all of you. This
yes,
is
yes.
Tom Sunich from Croatia.
Always
That's
good
Paul
to hear.
Go
ahead, Paul.
It's Paul Fromm from Canada. Yeah, greetings to all the other great panelists. And maybe I'm naive, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I expected better from Elon Musk. Twitter being pretty good since he'd taken over. Far less purgings and far more open speech. It'd be very interesting to know what happened. And I wonder if we might not get a senior movement lawyer to communicate higher up the
big question is why, and that's what we want you guys to address.
Well, of course, Jared Taylor, who was banned some years ago, took this to court out in California and was basically run out. That I heard actually about this first from Tom Sunich, who had texted me saying, "Hey, I'm banned. Can you get on Twitter and see what's going on?" And I got on there and to find out that I was banned too. That I saw Kevin was banned. Paul emailed me and said he was banned. And so obviously, Kevin. And here's what we'll do. We'll make this as brief as possible. Our comments. We can all engage in the conversation and everybody get a little time. But Kevin, I mean, obviously, it had to have appeared that a list was handed down to someone from someone, and this thing was executed, because the fact that we would all go at the same time after having been on there for so many years is, you know, suspect to say the least.
This reminded me of what happened after Charlottesville. Suddenly, all sorts of groups, including ones like the Institute for Historical the Institute for Historical Review, which had not been involved in Charlottesville at all. It was as if a list was handed to some of the big companies that take credit cards and so on, and people were purged right, left, and center.
Well, there was a lot of purging through the old regime. Coincidentally or interestingly, the four of us, all thrived during the woke regime, only to be banned by the Musk Twitter folks. But let's go to Kevin here. Kevin, you found out about it that Monday morning. Your thoughts on all of this and the fact that it all happened to so many at once, the timing, the why, the who, the when. I mean, it was very suspect.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, too. Yeah, I expected more from Elon Musk. I suspect it may not be him. He may not know. I mean, he's a very busy guy. He's got all these big companies and thousands of employees. So it's not clear that he knows. He's still virtue signaling about his commitment to free speech on Twitter and elsewhere in interviews. I was taking Twitter very seriously. I mean, I was shadow banned for years on Twitter. And, you know, I saw my follower count stay around 32,000 or something. And ever since he got ownership, it started going up, you know, and now it's like 44 something. And then all of a sudden I'm off. And it says permanently. It doesn't say, you know, it's not like they flagged a certain tweet. I've tried to be very careful what I tweet. I know that, you know, there are limits, but that wasn't good enough. And here I am. I'm on Gab now, but it's not the same for me. There are hardly any. I get 7 likes compared to, you know, 100 likes or 200, whatever. You know, it's ridiculous.
And, yes, and we all use very convoluted. James, we all use very, very nice and fine language, convoluted sentences, and I was surprised this happened. The same thing happened the same day to me as it happened to Kevin and other folks.
Yeah.
And I'm particularly surprised because I know firsthand, I'm not going to mention the names, there are some quote-unquote Hollywood Nazis or whatever radical folks who are still being published or actually posted on Twitter. Whereas we, academics, so to speak, were just good at being purged, just like during communism. So I guess that's something you got to consider also. And I'm really shocked, you know, at the behavior of Elon Musk. And I just can't believe that I can. And it still comes as a shock. And let alone, you know, I got to also underline that we posted our comments and some of our essays on Occidental Observer. And also I got to commend my friends, my colleagues from the publisher Arctos Publishers, both in Sweden and in England and also in Hungary. They've been quite active in fact, helping us, you know, with our cause and writing around. And I certainly would like to extend my greetings to all of them.
Well, you know, Tom, you bring up a good point, as you always do, and you would drive yourself mad trying to make sense of this. No sense can be made of it. But, yes, somebody had mentioned in one of the comments on Kevin's website about this, because Kevin had posted a statement from you, a statement from himself, and a statement from me, and it generated a lot of traffic and comments last week at the Occidental Observer. But people were saying that Elon Musk may drone on about free speech while still taking out the people he's told to take out. As you mentioned, Tom, there are people who are certainly much more obtuse than us in their presentation of our issues, who are allowed to exist, perhaps in the vein or in the fane of free speech, whereas people who do the work very seriously and effectively are the ones that are being taken out. Paul, would you comment to that?
Yeah, I'm of two minds. First of all, I'd like to believe Musk. I think he's a maverick. And he certainly put up with a lot of crap. I'm wondering if what has happened is an employee, either out of a misguided woke valor or wishing to sabotage, hasn't purged a whole lot of us, acting on a list that had been given to him. I wouldn't put that past what's happening. That's why I wonder if we can't get a senior person or a lawyer to try to get in touch, you know, higher up the food chain with Musk or somebody higher up. I mean, maybe this is exactly as it appears. Musk is a hypocrite, and we're being censored. But I'd like to think differently.
We're going to get to that. I've got some very interesting news and information that has come to light just this morning, and we'll try to make sense of it with these three outstanding guests. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Why were Tom Sunich and Kevin McDonald and Paul Fromm all, and others, by the way, it wasn't just the four of us. There was many, many more people that we know personally and through various associations that were banned at the same time on the same morning, Monday, April the 24th. We won't ever truly know the answer. I think the one thing that we can stand fairly certain on is that we're probably not going to be coming back to Twitter. I know we've all appealed these things, and there's been no response. No, we stand by our decision. No, we had a mistake, or no answer whatsoever. But, Keith, again, just one more question about this, and I want to submit to the panel, and by the way, a little bit later this hour, Tom Sunich is going to draw some parallels between where we are now in America versus where some of the ex-Soviet states were towards the end of their regime. But, Keith, a quick question for the panel. We'll let Kevin go first, then Paul, then Tom.
Okay, gentlemen, are you sure that this is something that Elon Musk approved and directed, or do you think there might be a fifth column of old-timers left at Twitter that got a message from some outside source and acted without Elon Musk's knowledge or permission?
See, that's the thing. I mean, we're just never going to know. Was a list given to somebody who still works at Twitter from one of these left-wing radical organizations, or did somebody at Twitter arbitrarily do this? Was Musk in on it?
There's so much coordination, though. The thing is, Tucker Carlson. Well,
somebody was.
That's
what. Well, yeah, there was definitely coordination. I mean, this wasn't as if we were all kind of picked off one by one at separate times. The fact that we all went at the same time. Anyway,
with Tucker Carlson.
Who wants to take that first?
Well, I come back to my suspicion that it may well have been a rogue employee. Now, you know, it may not have been, but that's why I think it's important to try to contact as high up in the organization as we can. These online appeals are for the birds. I've appealed, I think, four times. I've gotten nothing back. I did get an acknowledgement, but no details. And like the rest of you, no information about what horrible thing I said or did. And as far as I was concerned, I hadn't. There wasn't anything I've done recently that's any different from the things I was doing, you know, 6 months ago.
Well, exactly. And again, Jared Taylor banned some years ago. We were banned now. We could have been banned years ago or years from now. Just it's really a mystery. But let's let Tom Sunich take this one. And then, Kevin, I want to come back to you with what I had texted you this morning, because I think this is really going to be interesting to the audience. But, Tom, a comment?
Yes, very briefly. Well, listen, this is not really a surprise for me, and it shouldn't be a surprise for all of us here and your listeners. This is just the general process going on in the U.S. and the EU academia, in the mainstream media. I guess we are literally witnessing now the process of, I probably put it in the quotation marks, of recommunization, of the rise of the surge of the neo-Bolshevik or crypto-Bolshevik spirit. Of course, it doesn't come out openly, you know, Joe Biden or for that matter his crew, but look at the pedigree of his crew. They're not going to call themselves, they're not going to label themselves as Bolsheviks or Trotskyists, But the fact of the matter is, as far as the mindset of these people is concerned, including the mindset of people on CNN or Washington Post, New York Times, Süddeutsche Zeitung, Le Monde, and so on, all these mainstream media, they're using more or less in this communist lingo. And this is one of my, as a philologist, this is one of my fields. So I would certainly urge your listeners to study carefully the lingo, the language of our elites. Now, I do see, for instance, a great deal of similarities in terms of the lexic, in terms of a syntax as well. Of course, the semantical diversions between the former Pravda, between the former communist, the Yugoslav communist judiciary, and the actual judiciary and the communist and the liberal mainstream media in the United States of America. Just study carefully those words, and I don't know, I wouldn't like to take too much of your time. Study, for instance, the words like hate speech or affirmative action and offer the ethnic sensitivity training. These are all very abstract words. Now, keep in mind that one of the characteristics of the totalitarianism is the usage of abstract words. They're not specific enough. They're very liquid. They're very fluid. For instance, when you say hate speech, we had a similar expression back in communist Yugoslavia, where I grew up, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. We used the term. It was widespread, not just in the mainstream media, but also in the judiciary. Was the term hostile propaganda, neprijateljska propaganda. It's very hard to translate it into English, but basically you get the same idea of this hate speech, because under the cover of hate speech, you can basically sentence, you can send people, you can actually send them into spiritual gulags. And I'm grateful also to Kevin McDonald, because we are writing about this quite extensively in our essays on an Occidental Observer, Occidental Quarterly. So I would certainly urge your listeners to study some of our pieces that are quite referenced, where well written. So again, I wouldn't like to take up too much of your time, and I would certainly like to sound out a little bit Kevin and see how he can follow up on what I've just said.
Yeah, and we will circle back to this before the end of the hour. Kevin, do you want to touch on any of that?
Well, yeah, I think we are seeing more and more censorship in general. For example, Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson just got canceled off of Fox. And, the ADL was thrilled about that because they've accused him of anti-Semitism, they've accused him of racism. It's unclear exactly why he was fired, but certainly those comments didn't endear them to the people who really run our country. The ADL has been at the forefront of abolishing free speech, and so it's no surprise. And they are, especially with the old Twitter. I was sure that the ADL. I think I've read things that the ADL was involved with Twitter, but I know the government was. You know, the Twitter files came out and showed that very clearly, that the government was pressuring Twitter on vaccines and this, that, and the other thing, but. I've never seen anything, you know, that the ADL was involved in that, but, you know, they're very happy about us getting banned. I mean, that's one thing I enjoyed about Twitter. I followed the ADL, and I would retweet them and get some nasty comment about how hypocritical it is or how plain wrong it is, you know. And I never got flagged for that because I was absolutely right about it. So there we are. You know, they have the power, and we have to realize that.
Tweeters of the damned. You can't find these guys on Twitter anymore, but you can still hear them here at TPC. Now, I've been teasing that I'm going to share something with you that I think perhaps will surprise you. It's certainly going to confuse you in light of what we're talking about, but we might save that for the next segment because we only have a minute or two left in this one. Paul, do you want to jump in on this?
I agree with Tom about recommunization of our society. The window for discussion gets narrower and narrower, not just on the media, but you know, in schools and elsewhere. It's insanity.
Okay.
Yeah, people are losing their jobs.
You can notice that, in fact, I guess I could go on and on and just see, and you can see that in the mindset. Look, like especially in EU academia, I've been canceled on so many occasions. In fact, I was supposed to give a lecture at some major universities here in Western Europe, you know, and so on, but it was all canceled when they found out about me being a, whatever, white supremacist or white nationalist. By the way, I also got to underline, I keep harping on it over and over again, those expressions like hate speech, white supremacist, white nationalist, it's very hard to translate them into standard French or German or Croatian, for that matter. These are all imported expressions, and we got to ask ourselves a question, who actually coined those English expression in the first place? Now, Kevin McDonald has very well said, you just scan, for instance, the ADL website or SPLC website, you'll find there's a flurry of those words. It's an overkill of those words, you know. And this is typically of the liberal system. On the one hand, they use this hyperbolic language as far as this glorious future is concerned, just like in ex-communist Yugoslavia, just like in the Soviet Union back in the 50s, 60s. And on the other hand, they use the process of demonology, and I guess probably they should probably launch it at the social science department. They should launch a department of demonology where, you know, all those guys, you know, are sort of ranked or they're put classified as demons, as fascists, as Nazis. These are words are completely become trivialized. They mean nothing.
Hold on right there, gentlemen. Gentlemen and scholars, and each of you are certainly both of those things. We've got to take another break. Kevin McDonald, Tom Sunich, Paul Fromm, all on your radio, all at once here on TPC, along with James and Keith. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Varmish. An active shooter is being reported at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas. Shots reportedly rang out of the Allen Premium Outlets about 30 miles north of Dallas. The number of victims or injuries is currently unknown, and there was a large police presence on scene. Lots of pomp and circumstance as King Charles III has been crowned in England.
Charles took the oath to uphold the law and the Church of England during his reign. He also took a second oath.
I, Charles, do solemnly and sincerely, in the presence of God, profess, testify, and declare that I am a faithful Protestant.
You weren't able to see the king's actual anointing, though, the most sacred part of the ceremony. Historically, it's been regarded as the moment between the sovereign and God, with a screen blocking public view. I'm Corey Myers.
At least six people were hurt after the collapse of a mechanical structure in the pool area of a hotel in Aurora, Colorado. Reportedly, at least two of the people were taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. President Biden says his age makes him wise, not old.
President Biden says he's the only choice in 2024 because he's smarter than most Americans.
I know more than the vast majority of people. I'm more experienced than anybody who's ever run for the office. And I think I've proven myself to be honorable as well as also effective.
In an interview on MSNBC, Biden, who's 80, was addressing why his age isn't a factor to hold the job of president after being told a Fortune 500 company wouldn't hire an 80-year-old CEO. I'm John Schaefer.
A seventh horse at Churchill Downs has died this week. Just hours after Chloe's Dream had to be euthanized, another horse named Freezing Point was put down in the eighth race of the day. The 149th running of the Kentucky Derby is about to start. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Back with you we are, ladies and gentlemen, and for the first time in nearly 20 years on the radio, we have three all-star guests all on, not just in the same hour. We've had multiple guests in the same hour before in different segments or splitting up the time, but all together at once. This is a new thing for us, and we're working our way through it. Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Tomislav Sunich, and Paul Fromm. Now, here's the thing that I thought was interesting, and Kevin, you and I were texting about this. We'll let you have a go at this first, then Paul, then Tom. There is a pro-white advocate from Ireland by the name of Keith Woods, and he's never been on this program before, but I'm very familiar with his work. He does his work very seriously and presents the issues in an effective way, as we were talking about earlier. He gets a lot of engagement on Twitter, but never more than he has in just the past few days, and some of it deals with our very bands, but also tangentially related issues. Now, Elon Musk, I believe either on the same day or the day after we were banned, Elon Musk tweeted out the following message: censor not, lest ye be censored. To that, Keith Woods replied directly to Musk, banned in the past week, Dr. Kevin McDonald, James Edwards, Tom Sunich, and he listed some others, obviously Paul Fromm included in that, and it received nearly a quarter of a million views. And again, Musk was tagged directly to that, so I would... With that much engagement, you would think he probably saw it. But here's the thing. One of Keith Woods' very next tweets about the draconian anti-free speech legislation that was just passed in Ireland got a direct response from Elon Musk just right after all of this engagement about our bannings and Musk replied to. So, and here's the thing, too. Get this. This is where I think the thing really becomes a little bit schizophrenic. Donald Trump Jr. Retweeted Keith Woods' comment. Okay. The comment was, Ireland is about to pass one of the most radical hate speech bills yet. Merely possessing hateful material on your devices is enough to face prison time. It gets retweeted by Donald Trump Jr. It gets a direct response from Elon Musk. This is like the tweet after he brings attention to our bannings. And here's the thing, though. So we saw this today, Kevin. There is a Twitter profile by the name of End Wokeness, and that's an anonymous account, but it gets huge engagement and interaction. And he posted a graphic of interracial violent crime incidents. And the caption reads, "Perspective is everything." And it's got the 10-to-1 ratio of black on white violent crime incidents. And then it has the 1 out of 10 where it's white on black. And it has an old news media camera zoomed in up close on the white on black crime, and to that, Elon Musk himself replied, drawing attention to this, "Odd, why would the media misrepresent the real situation to such an extreme degree?" So he's bringing attention to our very issues in a way, amplifying them in a way that we never could. I mean, obviously Elon Musk reaches far greater than ours. It does seem like there's a little bit of schizophrenia going on, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I used to follow End Wokeness, and I retweeted him a whole lot because, you know, the black-on-white crime is a big deal, obviously, and all the anti-white hate that you see, that's one of my big issues. And I kept retweeting it, and now, you know, he seems to be aware of this. And the thing by Keith Wood, is his name, that you know, he's... 220,000 retweets or something. That's incredible. Donald Trump Jr., he's got to be aware of this. I mean, at least it suggests that. I know he's a busy guy, but he's got to do something about this if he wants to keep spouting off about free speech. Well,
Donald Trump Jr. responded to this directly. It's insane what's happening in Ireland, is happening in the free world. You know, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of views because of Musk, Keith Woods, and Donald Trump Jr.'s collaboration. And I know back in the campaign, of course, the first campaign, Trump Jr. appeared on this program. He was retweeting you as well, Kevin. We've seen these things before. But here's the point is, here's Keith Woods, a very responsible pro-white advocate, getting this huge engagement, and he's still there. And I'm glad that he's still there. I don't want him to be banned, but it doesn't make any sense. But, Paul, you had a great line on this situation in Ireland, that Irish nationalists fought English occupation for 400 years and then let third world immigration and globalist leaders take them out.
Yeah, well, as far as I can tell, with hardly any opposition, the Irish nationalists would have actually killed another Irish nationalist that wasn't quite as militant as they. They all seemed to have disappeared or got in fact enjoyed their power and then passed on. And the cause of keeping Ireland in some sense Irish. They've been done in by third world immigration, quarterbacked from the top, in a way that the British never did. It never could. And
that's the power of political correctness.
Yeah.
Tom, do you want to jump in on this?
This is probably an irony of history, Paul, because now back in Eastern Europe, you know, with all due consideration, there is, quote unquote, more freedom of speech than in Western Europe, you know?
Yes.
Because folks in Hungary, in Croatia, we still do not have in Croatia, we don't have this anti-Holocaust denial law. There are still certain things that you can debate freely and openly. There are, for the time being, it's going to get worse. There's no question about that. But I guess that's an irony of history that in Western Europe, especially in Germany, where they also have weird wordings for in their criminal code, you know, I could now cite things that are completely untranslatable in English. Just one little thing I need to have to make this remark. There is a paragraph 133 called Volksverhetzung in Germany, which, you know, literally has sent, you know, over the last 10 years, thousands of people to prison sentences and, of course, big fines and so on. You know, those words, you know, for an American lawyer to translate this paragraph, this clause, this legal clause, it's virtually impossible. So please do study, especially students, I'm appealing to them, do study the language, the lingo, the meta-language of the judiciary in Germany and France, and vice versa. If you want to figure out, you know, for instance, if somebody in France wants to figure out the U.S. judiciary, the criminal code, he has to know very well the language and, of course, what is behind this language. And this refers also on the, as far as the judiciary in Europe is concerned. Now, again, you have to make a clear-cut decision. I just want to be clear here. In Western Europe, for the time being, despite the fact that we're all in the European Union, there is certainly much less freedom of speech than in Eastern Europe.
I got a bit of a laugh. I guess about a week and a half ago, the Russian court sentenced some dissident to 25 years in prison. And the European Union immediately tweeted or put out a statement that Russia should let all political people in prison for their politics, let them go free. And to which I would say, hooray. But does hypocrisy not mean anything? There are literally hundreds, maybe thousands of people in jails in Germany, in France, in Austria, for the nonviolent expression of their political or racial views. In other words, they're political prisoners, like my friend, the Canadian Monica Schaefer and her brother Alfred Schaefer, and many, many, many others. I just wanted to do these people have no sense of hypocrisy or even irony? I don't know, man.
Paul is quite right. In fact, we are now talking about the Uyghurs. We are talking about Tibetans in China. We are talking about some lost tribes in East Timor and so on. Now, keep in mind, and I would like to just recap what Paul has just said. They're literally octogenarians, not nonagenarians. I don't know what. They're 100 and something years old, like this woman who was sentenced recently in Germany, 100 and age 102 and 3. To a long prison sentence. So I guess this is a standard scenario in the Western Europe, in particular in Germany. And so forget about the freedom of speech. That's just baloney. Anyway, thanks, Paul, for bringing this
maybe
up.
One thing we can do, considering, you know,
even in America, when people say, you know, it's good to live in a free country. I think it's worthwhile to confront them and challenge them and say, did you really believe that? Why can't you, even Twitter is no longer free. Or people say, well, don't quote me, I can't say anything. And I come back and say, well, you want to tell me you live in a free country, but you're afraid to say something? That's not a free country.
You know, it's a complete reversal of Western culture. I mean, all these freedoms came from the West.
Yes.
And, now they're completely taking them away. We are losing Western civilization. And that's the bottom line. That's why Western Europe especially, you know, they invented these things. You think about the UK. It used to be a free country. Forget about it now.
Hold on right there, gentlemen. We will be back. One more segment with the three of you. Program mainstays, to be sure, this wide-ranging roundtable discussion with Kevin McDonald, Tom Sunich, and Paul Fromm will continue. And boy, we're just getting started. Gregory Hood, Sam Dixon still on deck before the end of the night. We are getting back to form.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Folks, I've said it several times before already this year, very much can't tell you how much I enjoyed March Around the World and Confederate History Month, but it's great to be back to business as usual as well. It's all in the ebb and flow of our broadcast calendar, but tonight to be surrounded by, in a manner of speaking, I guess, on the radio, Kevin and Tom and Paul, just great company, great fellowship, and a great conversation. So I just want to – we'll transition just a moment to Tucker Carlson, but again, we were talking about Keith Woods, the Irish nationalist. He wrote today – now, he just got reinstated a month ago. All right?
Really?
So think about this. And he writes that today is 1 month since my account was reinstated. Since then, I've added over 10,000 new followers. My tweet on the Irish hate speech law reached over 11 million people. It was replied to by Elon Musk. And by the way, when Elon Musk has 139 million followers on Twitter. When he responds to a tweet, when he retweets something, it's being seen by that action alone by millions of people. He's drawing attention to anti-free speech laws in Ireland, to interracial crime statistics, okay? While we're being banned and while
he's like E.F. Hutton, when he speaks, everybody listens.
It's a schizophrenia type of thing going on. Retweeted by Donald Trump Jr. and Jordan Peterson. This is, again, Keith Woods writing here. Opposition politicians to the Irish law are now coming out to say that they oppose the law. Media finally given it coverage because of Keith Woods and the interaction his tweets had because of Donald Trump Jr. and Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson. The no hate speech laws hashtag was trending. And what he writes here, gentlemen, is I think the key. If what we did here, and he's talking about here being on Twitter, didn't matter, they wouldn't put so much energy into silencing us. And I had someone, we received a lot of emails after the bans, after the mass bannings that we all endured that morning. Somebody reminded me, and I hadn't forgotten, but I appreciate the reminder. He writes, I just wanted to write briefly to see if you recall when you, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, et cetera, were on a list in descending order as influences for Trump's election. They wouldn't be limiting your influence if you didn't have it. And I suppose that's the beginning of it, and that's the end of it. We're getting banned because we're effective and we do the work the right way. Jared Taylor, so many others have been banned. Some are coming back. It really doesn't make sense. But the fact that Tucker Carlson's firing took place that same Monday morning, I don't know if that's coincidental. It's certainly interesting. And there's been a lot of theories why he was fired, ranging from the Dominion voting lawsuit to the lawsuit that was brought about by Abby Grossman. We talked about that last week. To now this newly leaked thing about Tucker commenting that white men don't fight like that. There was a gang beating. It was actually three whites on an Antifa guy, and he said white men don't fight like that. And, of course, the impression given there is that black people do fight like that. The New York Times came out this week saying that's what he was really fired for. Who knows? But who was leaking this to the media? I mean, that's the thing. Somebody at Fox has to be leaking this to Media Matters. They believe, I guess Fox must believe that they can get their audience to turn on Tucker and then fall back in line and start watching this black host who was anchoring his chair this last week. What a joke. And this goes, I mean, establishment conservatives always believe they'll find a pot of black Republicans at the end of the rainbow. But anyway, Kevin, we'll go to Kevin, then Paul, then Tom. Your thoughts on Tucker Carlson, and then I'm going to really bring this to a head.
Well, yeah.
Kevin, you wrote an article for UNS, Thoughts About Tucker, if I'm not mistaken, or rather you wrote it for your own website and UNS syndicated it.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and Tucker violated so many of the sort of taboos. He was very edgy compared to the rest of them. You think of someone like Sean Hannity, slavishly pro-Israel, against immigration, but only illegal immigration. All that. Tucker really got into it and opposed the war in Ukraine. And talked about the negative consequences. There were all kinds of things that he did that these other people did not do. They didn't touch those issues on Fox. And so I really think it was what he was saying on his show, that he was a huge voice. He had the biggest audience on cable, and they got rid of him. But apparently Fox's ratings are down like 40% over, across the board, and more and higher than that. On the 5 o'clock New York hour, where he used to be. So, it'll be interesting to see. The other problem is that there's a lot of talk that he can't go anywhere else until Fox sort of allows him.
That he's still contractual.
He's still under contract. He's still going to be getting paid not to work, but that also blocks him from going somewhere else, or at least so is the theory. Now, Fox's ratings may go up next week because they're going to have Kaylee McEnany sitting in Tucker's chair, and I know, Keith, you'll be tuning in. No, she is. Well, no, I mean, you'll tune in to look at Kaylee. I know you, Keith. But very quickly,
not listen to her.
She's better than the two they've had so far.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, but let's do very quickly to Paul, then to Tom, and then I've got a provocative question for all of y'all. And we've only got about 5 minutes remaining. Paul, go.
I was a great admirer of Tucker Carlson, and I would say on many issues, immigration, crime, American foreign wars. He went about it as far without being James Edwards.
That's right.
He was a breath of fresh air. He really was.
He was hitting hard and hitting well. And I wouldn't be. I read this. This is probably a somewhat leftist commentator, but he thought that Tucker Carlson was really purged because of his ongoing critique of American wars, especially the war in the Ukraine.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Tom, did you catch Tucker all the way over there in Zagreb?
Sure. Well, listen, I put it the other way. I look at those who are gloating most over his departure, and you just look at the names of those and the agencies, and I guess everything will be crystal clear. Just look at the lingo of Greenblatt for the ADL and SPLC, and you'll know exactly, you know, who is pulling the strings. And
he has all the right enemies.
You have to look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess that's the whole point. He's one of the rare, you know, persons, I should say, with character. And, of course, we may agree on certain issues. On certain issues, we may not agree with him. But I'm very, very much concerned, that's my final point, with the lack, with the downfall, how can I put it, of freedom of speech, of academic free speech in the United States of America. These are bad news, and I guess we have to fight for free speech.
One little point.
Of course, the foremost test.
I was told by somebody at the Charles Martel Society a long time ago that Tucker Carlson believes everything that we do, the people at Charles Martel, except that, you know, he sort of cools it. So, I mean, he does understand the situation, I think. And we'll see how far he goes, but he gets it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where he lands and what he does now that he's unencumbered by network news.
Or if they will keep a sock stuffed in his mouth until the end of the election in 2024.
Maybe he gets banned from Twitter next. We'll see. But here's the provocative question, guys. And I wrote this in my – I've been banned from everywhere. So I guess the only surprise was that it took Twitter this long to ban all of us. But I was irritated by it enough to engage in the cathartic exercise of writing about it. And Kevin, you and Jared Taylor were both good enough to unsolicited, I might add, post this to your websites, my little musings on the ban. But I said, and I do believe this, I will appeal to people's sense of freedom of speech if it benefits our side. But if the shoe is on the other foot, gentlemen, I don't have any problem saying this. I would do the exact same thing to them as they've done to us. I don't believe in free speech. I don't believe that the kind of speech and the kind of things that our enemies are advocating for have any place in our society, in our ethno-state, or even in our multicultural state. If I had the power to do it, I would ban them. I would do everything they've done to us and more. Am I wrong in thinking that way? Am I hypocritical? Kevin, then Paul, then Tom, to close us out. Kevin, go.
No, you're absolutely right. And that this is the problem that we face. I mean, it's getting our message out. And Tucker was close to what we want to hear people in the media say, and I firmly believe that is ultimately what, you know, did him in.
Paul, to you, my friend, and again, I mean, we talk about freedom of speech and, you know, how terrible it is that our freedom of speech has been squelched on these basically public utilities. I mean, you're talking about Twitter. Okay, it's a private company, but is it? I mean, that's really the only place to go to get the message out for so many people. But I would do the same thing to them, so can I really complain? I almost admire them for being more ruthless than our people. Yeah, hold on 1 second, Tom. We're going to let you close it. Paul, 1 minute. Go, Paul.
I'm a bit uncomfortable with that. However, I think we would probably have to declare a state of national emergency until we could get things under control. So maybe we end up in the same place.
Well, listen, and I totally admit and could see people disagreeing with me on that. But what are we talking about? We're talking about transgenderism, this whole thing, you know, lopping off genitals and sex organs and castrating
children.
I don't think that has a place. I mean, that's just one example of many that I would draw the line on. But so, Tom, with a minute remaining, I want to thank you all for being with us for this roundtable discussion. But am I wrong to say, hey, my freedom of speech has been violated, but in my heart, I would do the same thing?
Yeah, I will just say, when I'm using my old cliche, my old platitude, my old slogan, communism fell apart in the East, in Eastern Europe, if you wish, because many, many of its principles have been far better implemented in the West, of course, with the different nomen and the different lexicon. So basically what you have now in the United States, especially in academia and the mainstream media, is the replica of what we went through back in the 60s and 70s in communist Yugoslavia, in the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union.
It's a different, communism has been replaced with cultural Marxism over here, and cultural Marxism.
Absolutely. Well, call it cultural Marxism, I call it crypto-communism, I call it crypto-Bolshevism. But well, even if you look at the pedigree of those people, I'm not going to single out the names, you'll be surprised to find out that their roots go back, you know, to certain places in Ukraine and certain places in Western Russia. So basically,
gentlemen, nobody but Kevin McDonald knows exactly how accurate that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, with three of the very best our movement has to offer, I mean, we're talking about lifetime contributors. These men represent the gold standard: Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Tomislav Sunich, and Paul Fromm. Find them on their websites. Gentlemen, we will continue to communicate any way we can, even if we have to run Keith with a tin can and a string from Memphis to Zagreb and to Idaho and to Canada. I will find you. We won't find each other on Twitter, but we'll find each other somewhere. And thank you all for being a part of this very special hour of broadcasting collectively. We'll talk to you again very soon. Gregory Hood up next.